Distraction. All right, I'm going to go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Jesus, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for this day, and thank you for your scripture and so much we can learn about how you want us to live our lives. In thy name, amen. All right, hospitality. I love the topic. I could talk about it for hours. I won't keep you all morning. I usually if they ask me to speak, it's like 15 minutes. But today I think I'm going to fill my time. So, but I do think this is a really important topic. I think that scripture is very clear on what God thinks about hospitality, which is just really loving others. And I'm only scratching the surface. There's so much. The more I looked at it, I'm like, oh, wait, that passage. Oh, and then there's that passage, and then there's that passage. And I'm not able to get to all the passages. So I'm going to kind of split my thing up into three parts. Four, counting the food. I already did that. Okay, so the first is kind of what the Bible, the picture of what the Bible says about hospitality. Two, I want to go through questions to ask yourself. And then three, tips for hospitality. So first, the first thing I want to point out is that God wants us to be hospitable. Hospitality pleases the Lord. And some of those verses that I went to was, one, a standard for a bishop or, you know, a pastor. And God points out, if you look at Titus 1:8, and I'm going to do my best. I probably should have just handed out these so that I wouldn't be flipping through. I think I've marked everything well enough that I will make it. Titus 1:8. That's Timothy. Sorry, one over. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. The verse before that, it's talking about, the two verses before that, it's talking about what the Lord expects of a bishop. So, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre. And then it has, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. I think that's really interesting that God puts that, you know, when he's talking about a pastor, he wants him to be hospitable. And it's something that pleases the Lord. So I don't think he just says, oh, I just want a pastor doing this. I believe he wants all Christians to be this. If we go to 1 Timothy 3, I'm going to pull these out so that I won't mess up. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And it's right in there. I just think that's so interesting that is a standard that God likes. God wants us to take care of the widows. And I think this is also interesting because, so in 1 Timothy, this is where I'm going to ho-hum around, okay? So I am not a teacher. So we're just setting you up. So I'll just, you know, flipping through here. I might get lost a few times, but I think we're all good. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:10. So this is talking about a widow. This is who you should be helping in your church. If they don't have family, if they don't have, you know, relatives to help them, this is what God would like us to do. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up her children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed after every good work. And it's right in there with a list of things, is that housed a stranger and washed the saints' feet. And those are hospitality acts that the Lord is very pleased with. Mark 9:41. And this is where I'm going to go to the reward that God rewards them. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So when we are giving to others and we are offering them our what we have, which is part of hospitality, God does not, he rewards that. And we will see that again in Matthew 10:42. It's kind of that same idea. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in my name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. So this is something that is very pleasing to God. Secondly, we're going to see that we need to do hospitality with love. 1 Peter 4:9. I'm in the yellow now. See, I did my things. No, I'm actually in the pink so that I could find them. Because I know I'd get up here and go, I can't find it. I can't. Okay. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I've been there many times. It's like poor little Martha in the Bible. I mean, we pick on the poor lady to no end. But, you know, she started off with a bang. You know, she wanted to serve the Lord. She was out there. That was what she wanted to do. But then it got hard and her sister wasn't helping and she was not happy. And I'm telling you, I have been there more than I want to admit, but I mean, we just had our church shindig. We've done this for years, and my husband and I used to do it at our home. We did it at our home for years until all our kids left, and we didn't have our kids to help us anymore. So we're like, we cannot do this without our children. So anyway, but we'd put on the big fall party, and we have a chili contest, and you know, pumpkin desserts, and the whole works. You know, I mean, I have fall stuff coming out everywhere from past parties, and we got this bright idea one year to use cupcake holders for the chili, so everybody could taste like 6 different chilies in one sitting. Such a good idea. Who's with me next? What do you think is going to happen next? Who's cleaning? Who's cleaning 40 to 50 of those? I'm just saying, the attitude wasn't great. And it's real hard to get that stuff out. So after that, we decided to put, because my husband loved it. He's like, oh, this is great. Everybody's like, oh, this is great. You know, we can try all the different chilies. And, you know, and I was like, this is a bad idea. And, you know, I'm supposed to be serving, but I'm over here like, gotta wash these pans. Anyway, we decided after that to put foil in them. So if you put foil in them, you will still have some cleanup, but it's way less. Now, it takes time to foil them, but let me tell you, it takes less time to foil them than it does to clean up those cupcake pans. All that to say that our attitude, we can ruin what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord by having a bad attitude. And really, it takes sacrifice. So Proverbs 31, and Carlos, I love Proverbs 31. There's so many things we can glean from it, but I'm going to go to verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. It is sacrifice. She's getting up early to feed her maidens and her household. When we are inviting people over, when we are having people in our homes, it's work and it's a sacrifice. But I know that that is what God expects, and I know he rewards that, and he loves that. He loves to see us doing that. So I'm just going to pull that part. I'm going to go back to that verse, though, in a few minutes. Philippians 2:3-4, loving others more than myself. And really, hospitality, it is. It is about loving others. All right, I'm going to go to the next point, point number 3. Do it often. It might look different in different times of your life, but do it often and practice with your own household. So it's a good place to start. If you aren't just practicing hospitality to your children and to your husband, you can't just go out and expect to practice it on other people. You really need to be practicing it right there. It's good practice and it is biblical. That's how we should be doing it. So practice with those around you. I went back to Proverbs 31:15 because I liked that she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her what? Her household and a portion to her maidens. So this just, it is not just about entertaining the stranger or someone else in your church. It is also about your household. And you can do a lot of damage on that one note if you aren't practicing it. Don't get tired of it. Galatians 6:9. I'm going to see if I can find where Galatians was on my chart. All right, what color are we? I have to go by the colors. I don't even know. I should know the verse. Anybody have Galatians? Anyone just want to look it up for me? Yes. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that is, don't get weary in this. Don't get, you get to a certain age and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick of it. But we can't. We need to keep doing it. And then learn from other people. Young ladies in this room, learn from people older than you. People, every age, look at somebody who's older than you and ask them questions. I remember when I was first married thinking, how did my mother-in-law get those dishes done so fast? Or, I'd watch my mom and I'm like, how did she just put on this feast for like 15 people and it didn't blink an eye? Why? Because she's been doing it for a long time. And now I notice myself, I'm able to do some things I'm still learning, but it's just because you're practicing. And the older women in the church, they have a lot to say. If you ask, they're not going to just tell you what to do for the most part. There's some of us out there that just might. There's some that aren't too shy about it, but there's some that just really don't want to, they're kind of afraid to say something. And so ask them, things they've learned along the way. I love it because I have Sam's, I have some of Grandma Rucker's platters. I have a platter of Grandma Brock's, and I know I have some platter of my family's, and I love that. And I think on the back of Grandma Brock's has her name on there, and I was thinking, how many potlucks has this platter been to? And she's passed on now, and they helped start a couple churches back in the day, and I'm like, how many platters has this church, gone to church potlucks? And now it's going again. And then I have Grandma Rucker's I'll do the deviled eggs, and I'm like, how many family events has this gone to? And that's kind of cool, that you're kind of passing on something and you're seeing that. But it takes practice, and I think we need to learn. And then the reason I also say do it often is I think we've all learned from COVID that living on our own in our little homes, isolated from our church family, is not healthy. It is not good for us. The other verse, maybe someone can tell me what it is, and I should have written it down, but not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Or there's also the one, as you see the day approaching, get together more. I'm sorry, I do not have the verse. If you guys have the reference, go. Is it with that one? Okay. What was the reference? Hebrews 13:5. I am just, COVID really has done some damage to our churches and to our families. And I would challenge you, as we see things changing in our world, get you a group of Christian friends and stick together and encourage one another. And don't try to do this on your own. Don't try to sit there and just listen to the news and suck it in. You have got to have some Christian advice, counselors, help, friends. We need to go through this together. So that's my do it often. Be intentional. I'm supposed to be moving quickly. Ooh, okay. Be intentional. I have a friend who passed away just a couple months ago and in a car accident. So it was very unexpected. But we did a podcast. I've been doing podcasts for about a year now. And my goal this past 6 months or so my goal was to do it with other people, but then COVID hit. My goal the last 6 months or so has been that I want to do my podcast kind of some on my own and some with others. It's just a practical podcast. It's not anything simple. Soap Bubbles with Cindy. So anyway, so I got to spend time with my friend Jalene. She was our pastor's wife for 5 years, and then they moved up to Colorado and they took a church up there. And my daughter and her husband have actually been interning up there. So I had gone up this summer to see my daughter, just had a baby, and I stayed with Jalene. And she was very good at discipleship, very intentional in what she did. And we had long conversations about, because she wants to get to the point, and I want to, like, I'm like having a great time over here with my cookies, but I forget to get to the point, which is point people to Jesus, you know? And so we had these long conversations, and we ended up doing a podcast together, which I'm so thankful for, because did not see what was coming. So I'm not going to cry on that. But be intentional. So one of the things we need to be doing is encouraging our sisters and brothers in Christ. So 1 Thessalonians, hey, there's my Galatians verse. Okay, let's see. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. Before that, it talks about, I believe it's talking about what Christ did, and we're to be reminding ourselves and encouraging one another. And this is part of the reason that we have fellowship, is to encourage one another in the Lord. And then in Proverbs, let's see if I can find it. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpened iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So we all kind of heard that verse, but that is also the reason we get together. So we want to encourage one another in the Lord. Another reason we need to invite people to our homes is just simply to spread the gospel. So we need to be open and listen to maybe situations, maybe new families that have come to our church where we're not sure if they're saved. This is a good opportunity. We do live in a different time than the Bible times, where, you know, you're housing strangers because they're walking through, which is a whole study of itself. I have not done that study because I'm like, that's a whole, you know, who's the stranger and how do you house, you know. But I do believe we live in a time where we have a church, and sometimes we have unsaved that come. This is a time you need to be listening. You need to be open. You need to open your homes. And this is not easy. It's just not easy. But Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is being intentional. We are to be spreading the word. So when we have people in our homes, that spreading the word. And it can also be just little children. When little children come to your home, you need to let them know what you believe. And then Galatians 6:2. Maybe that was a Galatians verse. I just don't even know. Okay. But we can find it because I have it marked. Okay. Galatians 6. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So in that, bearing each other's burdens, not only are we encouraging each other, but we need to be praying for one another. And we need to, you know, be that intentional. When they're in your home, you need to be listening for burdens and saying, I'll pray for that. Let me pray for you. Or how can I pray for you? But we need to have our ears open and our eyes open to see. Okay, so that's intentional. I got to move because I have more things. Okay. And then the last of this section is have an attitude of hospitality wherever you go. You do not necessarily have to be hospitable just in your home. And I like that passage in Luke. I'm not going to turn to it right now, but 7, and it talks about how this Good Samaritan, you know, helped. Maybe I should turn to it. You know what I'm, everybody know where I'm at? Where, you know, and what is he doing? He's helping. He's helping that person. Is he helping him in his home? No, he's not by his home. But he goes and he clothes him and he pays for his lodging. And what is he doing? That is hospitality. So if your home isn't set up maybe for that, or maybe we'll get into that later, but maybe it's your husband works, or maybe your husband's not really into having a lot of people in your home. There's ways you can be hospitable, even if it's taking someone out for coffee and paying for it. That is hospitality. And that's what I was going to say. At church, Hebrews 10:25. That's the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That was a verse I wanted. Don't forsake. Go to church. Meet your friends. Spend time. That's Jesus wants us doing that. The devil is just loving COVID. He's loving this separation from our friends and this non-encouragement. And we need to be encouraging one another. So, but we can do that in church. And then we can also do that in our community. And we see that with the Proverbs 31. Once again, I'll go, I mean, she has just, there's so many things. But 20, she stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And I love that because she's out there in her community paying attention to what the needs are. And so maybe just pick one thing in your community or just be aware. Open your eyes and see what's going on out there. So that's the first part. And I strongly believe that this is what God wants of us. Not sure what that's for. I don't need it. Okay, here are some. I don't know if you guys can see this. Whoa. Okay, if I misspelled something, I am not a teacher. If there's poor English, I am not a teacher. But I think you get the idea and you can reword it. Okay, so this is something, these are some things to ask yourself before you're hosting a party or an event or a family or your own family. But ask yourself these questions. Am I trying to draw attention to myself or am I focusing on others? Am I have an attitude of here I am or there you are? And I always think of my grandpa, like I can still hear it. He's been gone for many years, but I can still hear his voice when I walk in the room. Hey, and it's like this, hey, Cindy, you're here. That's the way we need to be, like, hey, you're here. Welcome. Not here I am. So glad you could come see me. Yeah. Okay. That's not what it's supposed to be. Okay. Wanting others to know me. I want you to know all about me. Do you know all about me? Or am I trying to get to know you? There's a little thing I started doing a few years ago. I have a black book on people. It's not really black. It's blue. And it's not bad things. I started writing people's names down. Ladies in my church or around camp, you know, living here. And then the other is family members, because I can't always remember what people like to eat and what they don't like to eat, or what colors they like when a lady's birthday rolls around, or what their theme is. And so I've started jotting down, like, under their name, oh, they like this. And it's not a very big book, but, you know, I have 3 son-in-laws now and a daughter-in-law. And, you know, I with one of my son-in-laws, he's really nice, and he's not going to say he doesn't like eggs. And I never think of him not liking eggs, because he usually eats a lot of different things. And I kept offering him eggs. Oh, I fixed your eggs and bacon this morning. And, you know, okay, thanks. And then I realized, like, oh, he doesn't really like eggs. You know, and so all that to say, get to know your guest. So listen, learn, write it down if you need to, but get to know them. Am I hoping for something in return? I've had that family over 5 times, and they haven't had me over once. Yep. No, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. It's like, we can have you over 20 times, and you can never have me over, and we should not expect something in return, and we shouldn't expect praise or return favor, any of that. Am I putting what I own above people? Are people more important than what I own? This is really hard. Like, sometimes you think, yeah, I'm not putting people above, or I'm not putting things I own above people. And then you start thinking, wait, we got that new chair. I don't really want them drinking soda in it. Hey, you want to drink your soda over here? No, that chair is not that important. People are important. And I'm going to touch on something that we have to be careful with pets. My husband and I love, we are pet people, okay? We have pretty much had pets since we got married. So it started off with fish because we couldn't have anything else. And then the fish had babies. And what do you do with that? And then they were eating them. I mean, you know. And then the next year we were able to get a cat and a dog. So we got that, you know. And so we've always had pets. But one thing I've always had to tell myself is people are more important than my pets. People have souls. Pets do not. I mean, I hate to say it, but the Bible's real clear that we will go somewhere for eternity. And my kids always say, Mom, you spoil those pets. And I'm like, well, this is the only life they get. But you have a soul. So, yeah. But this is sometimes hard. You know, my little dog follows me around the house, and I just think she's cute and great. And she thinks everybody's her best friend, but I'm telling you, when people come to the door, she's obnoxious. Like, she thinks everybody's her best friend, and they aren't. So we usually put her up when we have people over until I fill out the people. Some people really want to talk to your dog and see your dog. Other people aren't interested, so you kind of have to read the crowd on that. Be careful. Like, we have a cat. I love cats, but I know people are really allergic to cats. So you just have to keep those things in mind. We had someone staying at our house, and a cat ended up in the room they were sleeping in, and they just had a horrible reaction. And you just have to keep that in mind. Like, oh, you know, maybe I could keep the cat up in the laundry room and clean everything before they come. Anyway, just be aware, because people are more important. Am I trying to impress, or am I trying to bless? So is there anything wrong with what I did over there?
No.
No. There's a reason I do that, and it's not, okay, I'm going to get distracted. There's a place in Apple, or Hesperia, I can't remember what the name of it is, the Stagecoach something. Yeah. Okay, so I went with some older ladies last year, and you walked in, it's really cute, and we go in the back, and there's this whole tea set up, and you can, yeah, carry chest. You can go get tea, and they offer you cookies, and it changes how you, it kind of relaxes you, like, oh, this is so, and I think women like that. And so this is a way to bless somebody. Like, you walk in, and it kind of puts you at ease, and this is, should be a blessing, not look what I did. Now, if you look what I did, there's some mismatched things over there, and things aren't perfect. So we're going to go into that. Am I glorifying self or glorifying God? A lot of these points kind of blend together. Am I concerned of everything being perfect? Am I concerned about sharing the gospel? So if you could get totally wrapped up in, that tablecloth isn't the same blue as the other tablecloth, and do I have too many leaves out there, and those utensils do not match, well, I can't have a party. There goes that. It can't be about that. It can't be perfect. It just needs to be about sharing the Lord and getting to know him better. Am I opening a showcase? Or providing a safe place. And that's really, did I switch when I put that? No, okay. There's been a few times in our home, especially recent years, it seems like, where someone's in a crisis situation and they end up staying at our home for either a few days or something, and hasn't happened too often. But that person needs to know, I am not gonna take what they're going through and call people and share it. You know, Susie, she had to stay at our house because the problem she's got. You know what I mean? Now you've just created a very unsafe place. Also, abuse. If children come to your home, I mean, this is a given. There should never be abuse. There shouldn't be, you know, cruelty. It needs to be safe. It needs to be safe for your children, safe for your husband, and safe for visitors. It needs to be safe. It is not a showcase. That's the other, you know, it's not like, you know, this is just perfect. And you know those places, you can't hardly sit down because you're afraid of, don't want to sit on that. So anyway, just be careful with that. And then, am I modeling after the trends of the world, or am I modeling my home after scripture? There's nothing wrong with having, like, if you have the finances to have up-to-date home, or it's your hobby that you like to redo your house according to trends, there's nothing wrong with that. Just remember, obviously, pictures you hang need to never be, they always need to be, what do I want to say, godly. They shouldn't be questionable. So our goal for years has been to scripturize our home. And in the last few years, Sam's had access to the print, I don't know, wood thing out there. What do you call that thing? written up or, you know, on the computer in a frame, you know. So we had some scripture in the home, but now it's really getting scripturized and I love it. And we used to hang, actually it's still hanging, but the bell is gone. But by our door it says, be kind, and it has a scripture, you know, the Ephesians 4:32. I say that right. And you're supposed to ring the bell. The kids were supposed to ring the bell and say, be kind. Now, I'm not saying they always were kind when they walked. I wasn't always kind when I walked out the door. But it was a reminder. Be kind. So I want my home to be like that. There was, I'm looking at the time, ladies. I'm looking. There was a lady that I knew growing up, and she didn't ever really smile a lot. She wasn't mean. She just never smiled a lot. And when I went to college, she wrote me the nicest encouragement, left a huge impact on my life. And then recently, in the last few years, her and her husband were getting older, and they needed their daughter's help. So they moved from their Ohio home down to Florida, to where her daughter lives. And they had movers come in. And when they were cleaning out from under their bed, they had a lot of like Bibles and devotionals and all this. And the movers said they move people and they never know what's going to come out from under a bed. But they said, I can tell people who believe in God live here. And I thought, what a testimony. You know, you want people to walk in your... That's my little... Ask yourself these questions. And there you go. Two things down. We're on to the third. All right, practical tips. Boy, I could go on this one. Anyway, some of you are going to go, well, duh. But, you know, I just put it there. Number one, clean but not perfect. We talked about that a little bit. Your home needs to be clean but not perfect. What is going on with the earring and this? Okay, sorry. I'm probably, this recording thing is probably like, okay. It does need to be clean. I do understand you're going to have people, you are going to have unexpected, and I understand that. But you don't want it to be gross, like the furniture sticky, because you never clean it. You know what I mean? Like, I think you need to be careful about that. But also, you can't go overboard, because that can also, you just have to be clean but not perfect. Two, be okay with unexpected guests walking into your house. I've had to work on this one, because... This one was difficult for me. We ended up doing, all four weddings ended up being on the property. And so we had a lot of guests in and out of our home. And I had to be okay with that. And it took a while for me to get used to, like, if people were here for a week or something, it's like, oh, well, hello. So, but be okay with the unexpected guest. Three, make your home smell good. Think about the smells you want. it's a little thing, but it does make a difference. So a couple Wednesday nights ago, Daniel Kelting had worked on my, I have a dulcimer. I'm learning, so it's not like, you know, oh, she's good. She can play a dulcimer. No, I'm just learning. But he was working on the strings, and he says, can I bring it to you after church? And my husband and I were standing there. I'm like, I guess. I don't know when else I'm going to see him. I don't know what the house looks like. Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, I had cut up onions before church. And I had not, like, you know how Wednesday night goes? You're in a hurry. You know, well, maybe not. But, I mean, I always feel like I'm in a hurry. Usually we do simple meals. And I had onions left out on the thing. And, oh, our house stunk. And I was thinking, well, there's no turning back now. He's already in. Sounds like it smells like onion. I know. And it stunk pretty bad. So you don't, you know, think about the smells of your house. Offer water. This sounds basic, but living here, sometimes I forget to tell people we don't drink out of our tap. So I forget to tell people, oh, you can go get water over there. Because that's something that makes people at ease if they know where they can get water. Show them where the bathroom is. If they're going to be there for the whole evening, let them know so they don't have to come ask you. Make sure there's toilet paper, too. Which COVID, you know, who knows, but make sure, show them the bathroom, make sure there's toilet paper. Give a plan for the evening. Sometimes this is really nice, especially if guests stay for several days, but even if they're there for the evening, I always like it when, you know, you come in and they're like, oh, you know, dinner's going to be in like 30 minutes, but we could just sit and chat while it's cooking. And that way you kind of, I don't know, there's maybe it's because I just like it when someone says, we're going to do this and then maybe play a game after dinner. Are you guys up for that? Anyway, okay. Make a plan for the evening. Seven, toys for children to play with. Yes. When children come in your home, they will be playing with something. So you choose what it is. So for years, my mom always had a toy bucket. Even when we grew up, like after we had grown, she always had a toy bucket. And so when I got married, even before kids, always have a toy bucket. Have something little hands can do. We actually have a dollhouse that my husband made, and it's on wheels. And I keep it in the front room because it's kind of cute, I think, anyway. And it fits my front room fine. And when people come, even unexpectedly, I could say, oh, you can turn the dollhouse around and play with it. And they just flip it around, and it keeps them busy. We also have a really wonderful playhouse outside, and that keeps them busy. They will be playing with something, so you choose what it is. And sometimes you could choose what it is, and they still choose something different. But you could do the best you can, okay? Provide books, magazine, puzzles, comics, interesting things on your coffee table, or a basket that has interesting things. We would also end up, like when the girls were dating, you know, a guy would be over there waiting, and I would be in the kitchen, because it's all connected, the kitchen and living room, and I'm like, what do you do with that? Hi, I'm your future mother-in-law. So if I would have like Calvin and Hobbes out and, you know, Farsight, you know, stuff that they could pick up and do and they didn't feel like they had to talk to me. Like they could talk to me, but you know what I mean? Like it didn't feel like, all right, okay. So, and this is nice for people. Puzzles, little hand puzzles and stuff. Just doesn't have to be a lot on your coffee table, just something for them to do. Where to seat, comfortable seating. I realize finances might not allow you to have comfortable seating, and I understand that. But do take the time to look around your home and say, okay, where can people sit? Like if I have a group, you know, pay attention to that. And then provide, if you're going to have a large group, make sure the chairs are ready to be pulled. You are setting an example for your children. I said be an example to your children, but you are setting an example. Example to your children on hospitality. And on this, you don't want to run over the household while you're getting ready for company. I have done this too many times, but where you're like, come on, get the bathroom clean. What? Oh, what is that? You know, what's in the sock? Get the sock. You know, and you're just yelling and barking these orders. And in the process of barking orders, you have damaged your family in order to serve somebody else. Do you get what I'm saying? So be careful of that. But also teaching your children that it's work. It is work. It is work to have people over. It is a sacrifice. And your kids aren't going to like it at times. But you know what I love right now is all four of my kids and their spouses host parties, events, small groups. And I'm like, yes. These are the same children that complained. And they're having a party. It does make me very happy to see that because they've learned that it's work, but they've also learned the joy of it. And so I think that's at some point they'll learn the joy. 11, make good conversation. So like you're going to see things just kind of overflow. So make good conversation. That's part of getting to know people. Make your home comfortable. Once again, look around your house. See what's not comfortable. See what feels crunchy. I put down here, learn from elders, which we talked about that earlier.
Can you repeat 11?
11? Good conversation. And then 12 was comfortable home. 13, learn from others, the elderly. I also, we went on a sabbatical when our kids were young. And I... when we were in different homes, I was what makes a home comfortable? What makes a home not comfortable? What makes a home comfortable? You don't need to tell them that. Tell them if it is comfortable. Like, oh, I just love the way you, whatever it is. So I have a friend back east. I'm from Ohio. I have a friend back east, and her husband, he's a pastor, and we all grew up together. But we've stayed at their home many times, and I was like, why is Amy's home so comfortable? What makes it comfortable? And I'm literally sitting there going, what makes this so comfortable? One, it's like, well, whenever you get up, here's breakfast. Or, you know, here's your room. They always have a basket with snacks in case we were out late. They have water available. It's clean, but not over clean. It's just kind of, it's life. And it's comfortable to stay there. I like staying there because it's very comfortable. I have other homes we've stayed at, and I'm like, do I touch that? I don't know. when do you think dinner, like, I don't know if we should go, you know. And so study what makes you comfortable in someone's home. I think it's fun to, you know, do that. It's fun for me, maybe not for you, but all right. 14, kids and bedtime. We're doing okay. Just a couple more minutes here. Kids and bedtime. What we used to do, our church for a while did what we call a gathering. And it was once a month on a Sunday night, very informal. All it was basically fellowship. And different people opened their homes. And we'd done it quite a bit. We'd have an open fire. And I'd say, oh, our outdoor fire's going. Come hang out. And literally, that's all they did. All we did is hang out and talk. Kids played. But when you start doing that on a regular basis, you have to always be aware of your children. Be aware of your children. Always. So when you have company, be aware. Now, you're going to miss some things because we're not perfect people and we're not perfect women and we don't know everything. We think we know everything. We think we have eyes in the back of our head, but we are not God. So we don't see all that. But do the best you can to know, you know, where's my kid playing? So what we would do is I would tell the company, usually by that point, because they were elementary, I would say, my kids are going to go to bed at 9. You are welcome to stay. I'm just letting you know that our kids have to go to bed at 9. And so they knew the routine. I already pre-warned the kids, 9 o'clock. Their bedtime was earlier than that when they were younger, but on those nights, I would probably stretch it to 9 and then say, you know the routine. And it got so, because some of us lived close together, they'd be like, yeah, my kids need to go home and go to bed, you know, but they live next door, so it wasn't like. But it is that idea of don't get out of, be careful with your children in this process of hospitality. That's a whole nother topic. We're just not having time. Okay, stage it. So if you're doing a party, I like to set this up a week or so in advance, kind of look at it, and which you guys probably know what staging is, but kind of look at it, see what you might need. I like to say go shopping in your home. I love to go out to my garage and go shopping because it's fun. You go out there and find all kinds of things in your garage. Well, I do. Maybe yours is clean. I mean, ours is clean, just lots of. Okay, timeline. If you're getting ready for a party and it's making you nervous, or you're getting ready for a big event, I take my day, because what I've done is I started doing a Yakety Yak Cafe with our staff ladies. I only do it now. I'm down to about twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall. And I tell the ladies they can come from 3 to 5:30. I think it's 3:30 to 5:30. Anytime, walk in. I serve this sort of stuff. And all we do is you can come and go. You can take your coffee to go, or you can come hang out, and people hang out. And I was looking for a way of our staff ladies to be able to hang out that wasn't work. So, but those sort of things can make you very nervous, because I want it to be nice, but it's very stressful. So what I usually do is took my day and go, okay, from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this. From 10 to 11, I'm going to do this. From 12 to 1, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to actually just sit, and I'm not going to do anything. Okay, from 1 to 2, I'm going to do this. From 2 to 3, I'm going to get the coffee. And boy, that's helped me a lot to do a timeline. Favorite recipes, fall back on. My cookies, it's easy. Sam loves them. I can make them in the dark. I can make them with a shark. I can make them on the roof. I can make them. I can tell you the recipe right now. Only because my husband likes them, and we probably make them at least twice a month. I want to say once a week, but I bet it's probably every other week that I'm making chocolate chip cookies. So it's my fallback. When all else fails, chocolate chip cookies, we're all good. Good to go. So pick something that you're comfortable with. I was not comfortable with the big roast. My mom was great with the big roast and the potatoes and the carrots, and I was like, I can't do it. And Sam's like, let's have a cookout and paper plates. I got it. I can do that. So pick what is good for you. If you're good at the roast and potatoes and carrots and you're good at that sort of thing, do it. But if it's not comfortable for you, cook out, man. Can't bomb a cookout, right? Let's see. Touch, taste, smell. See? I think those are kind of the, you know, all your different feelings when you're prepping for something. I kind of just threw that in there. Quick little advertisement. Just doing a little. And doing a little advertisement. I should get a commission. How many of you have seen these? It's called Nora Fleming. And they have all these little, I think, I'm not sure if this one's going to go back in because I need to, this one I have to wet and put it back in. Okay, so there's holes in these. They're kind of, honestly, they're kind of expensive. So you could ask for them for your birthday or something. But you can change out, they have all the holidays. So it the plates, you can change out all the little pieces. So I have a flamingo and I have, so anyway, it's just a fun, that was my advertisement. There's nothing spiritual about that. But it is fun. And ladies notice fun things, right? So anyway, it's called Nora Fleming. And they're really fun. You can change them out. That bowl has one. So I have three up here that has them. And my husband got into it, so he was buying me them. I'm like, yeah. All right. Okay, we covered a bunch of stuff. And I think I was supposed to be done at 10:15. No, 11:15. 10:15 would have been bad. So, is there anything anyone wants to add, or you can come talk to me afterwards, or something really quick that you, yes?
If you've never really done it, that's a good way to start. The whole concept just terrifies you.
Okay, so one thing I need to make clear is,
can you repeat the question?
What's that?
Can you repeat the question?
How do you start if you haven't? Let me make it clear that not everybody is set up to do a whole coffee shop. So do it on a small scale. If you have one or two friends, something I'm wanting to concentrate on, and I've just kind of started doing it, is more like, oh, why don't you come over for coffee? I'm not working anymore. I helped my husband. I babysat the staff kids for years. And then with my husband traveling and his job here and his other responsibilities, we found it best if I didn't. And one of the things he wanted me to do, though, is to bring people together, like ladies together and like staff ladies, and you know, so that sort of thing. So I'm still learning on, okay, I really should have someone over for coffee. So just do one thing. If your husband's not comfortable with that, then take somebody out to eat, or do you know what I mean? Or take someone out for coffee. So do it on a small scale. But if your husband's okay with it, do it on a bigger scale. If you're comfortable with it, say, hey, I'm going to open my home from 3 to 5 for just these 5 ladies, and they can stop by and they don't have to stay. They can just come get coffee and, you know, encourage one another. So yes. So I want to be careful about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what you were just talking about, of having someone suggested, like, have a special thing of cookies or chocolates or something like that that you just keep on hand, and all you have to do is serve coffee and have your little treats that don't have to be expensive. You
know, for sure.
It doesn't limit you from being hospitable, or like finding a way to still do it, like you said, in different stages of life.
Yeah, I really do. I like that. It's, and I think there's times when you have a little infant and it's hard. So talk with your husband, think it through, but really be intentional and really do think about it. Take time to think, how will it work for me? You know, how can I do this biblically? Did you have something? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I like that. It really is an attitude. Yes.
Good, cheap, easy dinners. Get a chuck roast, a frozen bag of stew vegetables in the crock pot with a cup of chicken broth, and people will think you're an amazing cook, and you literally do.
You do nothing. I love it.
Friday crock pots are $10.
Well, on that note, I'm going to close in prayer, but feel free to share among each other on, I love tips. So if you have some, bring them to me. I'll write them down. Oh, did.
I was just thinking, because the whole purpose of hospitality as a believer is to introduce Christ to them. And so just doing something that doesn't cost anything, and that that is like making little name tags where they're going to sit at the dining when they serve their meal. Just a little.
Oh, sure.
And then have like little verses maybe interspersed on the dining room table that, you know, they might just read it, but it might be a topic of conversation that comes up when you express a need.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer and feel free to share. So, all right. Dear Jesus, thank you for all the examples you give us in scripture, and so many we can't even begin to hit them all. But help us to be aware. Help us to see those around us in need. Help us to take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on you. In thy name, amen.